Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 157. I've got William and Ben here with me.
Hello.
How's it going?
So Ben is Will's friend, and Indeed. Ben has been on the podcast. He was on the podcast maybe like 2.5 years ago.
I think it was like
maybe 2 years ago.
Like a year and a half, maybe. It was a while ago.
I don't know what episode it was.
It's felt like a million years.
But it's. Yeah. I bet if you went back and listened to it, both William and Ben would sound like totally different kids.
Yeah, I've listened to episode.
Like your voices are so much deeper now than they were then.
I've talked about this a couple of times. I've listened to episode one, and I sound like super squeaky.
I found a video the other day of me talking from like a couple of years ago. I couldn't recognize myself, which is funny.
It is funny. You both sound different now.
Yeah,
that's
I remember all those old English projects that have like all of us, like all of my friends in there. We all look like super short and like super squeaky.
And we do like the little Irish jigs and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are great.
You do Irish jigs?
Yeah.
Do you do Irish jigs?
It was like, we were making, I think for this one, we were making a, like a Greek mythology. We had like a tournament where you can make the best Greek mythology like product commercial.
I won.
Yeah, I started out with like hefty hammer because it was for like Hephaestus's hammer, but that ended up not winning. So we moved on to Apollo sunscreen.
It's fireproof. Like, it's waterproof, electricity proof, and UV proof.
Yeah, I think we did like an Irish jig to our our slogan, which was APOLO sunscreen.
Yeah, it was like during a newscast, I think, or something.
Yeah, those are great.
Was this in high school?
No,
sixth grade.
Okay, yeah.
The glory days, kind of.
Yeah.
So first year of middle school.
Yeah, yep. And it was obvious.
Fun times.
It's like the most like 12 thing ever.
But now it's summertime. You're in between your freshman and sophomore years in high school.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And both of you just got back from High Adventure camping trip.
Yes, that was a lot of fun. It was like this church camping trip in Arkansas.
Yeah. What was the name of the place you guys went?
It's like Horseshoe Canyon Ranch, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right. I think there's like a river called like Buffalo River.
There's like a population of like 400 or something. It was like a teeny city, but
except like 410 when you were in town.
I think it was like 800, maybe.
So how was it? What did you guys like about it?
It was a lot of fun. We got to do stuff like kayaking or like cliff jumping into rivers. Or stuff like that.
They had a crazy awesome zip line. It was like the second longest in North America, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, that one was cool. There was like this big like ropes course where like we got to like rock climb and stuff. Some people went down something called the Devil's Taco.
That's a really funny name.
Yeah, I didn't go down it because it was already kind of scaring me. But
I was so claustrophobic in that thing. Like the heights didn't really bother me as much, but like going through that thing was so tight. Anyways, what they said
was it just like a canyon that was really narrow? Is that what it was?
It was like a crack in the side of a cliff. So you crawl through a crack and they said that you'd
like
feel
a
like
crevice.
Yeah, it said you'd feel like the meat in the devil's taco.
Oh, that's where the expression comes from.
Yeah, I guess.
I didn't know that was an expression.
That makes sense.
There's like a tightrope part to it that like isn't quite as scary as it looks, but still kind of scary. You're like harnessed in, so it doesn't matter if you fall. But it kind of feels like if you fall, then you'll die.
I loved that tightrope thing. That was awesome.
Yeah, Ben kept on like doing flips on it and stuff and like freaking everyone out. Or not flips, but like...
On the zip line?
No, on the tightrope.
On the tightrope.
I did some pull-ups.
So it was like a tightrope, but you were harnessed, so you couldn't really fall. Is that the deal?
Yeah,
the entire rope.
So you could walk on the tightrope, but if you got out, if you fell, you wouldn't fall, plummet to your death.
Yeah, it's still kind of freaky, though, because you're probably over 100 feet over the ground easily.
I think the scariest thing was probably this like bungee cord that was like 20 feet.
Yeah.
And it was like falling down, maybe 25 feet. Falling down wasn't that scary. Like when you're actually going down, it was kind of like going down from a rock climb, like a rock wall. But the scary part was like when you jump off, there's like a half a second where it feels like you're legitimately falling.
Yeah.
And like that little sliver of time is like terrifying.
There's like no slack. Like there's a bunch of slack there. So it's all.
Yeah. So is it like a slack line or a tightrope?
It's like a bungee cord, kind of.
Yeah.
You just, like, drop down.
It repels you down, kind of, but, like, there's a good chunk of time where it's, like, it hasn't caught up with you yet because you jump off, you're like, whoa!
Yeah, I, like, unintentionally screamed at that part.
So we've done...
But then it was fine.
We've done ziplining a couple of times on vacation.
Yeah, we did in Costa Rica.
Once in Costa Rica, once in Colorado. And ziplining, I didn't know what I would think of ziplining, but ziplining, I think it doesn't bother me because you know that you're like hooked onto a steel cable and you're in a harness and I don't know. I feel fairly secure.
Yeah, pretty much no one's scared. Ziplining
doesn't bother me that much, but I've never done a tightrope before.
Yeah, ziplining is almost relaxing because you can kind of look around and like see all the nature beneath you. But like with the tightrope, it's like, I don't know, because it's more up to you, you know, it's yeah. like you can feel it wobbling beneath you. So your feet are kind of
like... wobbliness, I think, would bother me.
Yeah, usually with zip lines, like when I'm getting harnessed in and stuff, that part's like terrifying because I'm like up on this platform and stuff and I'm about to jump and it looks like I'm going to fall from my death.
Yeah, there's
but for this one actually wasn't scary like at all because it was like, you got harnessed in these things that are called like trolleys or something. And it's like, it's still ziplining, but it feels more like you're sitting down instead of just like holding mm-hmm. on to something.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's not even that big of a drop at first. It kind of like leans into it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go off fast all of a sudden. So the whole thing is just like a breeze.
So there's a documentary called Man on a Wire. Have you ever heard of this?
Yeah, I have.
It's a guy who, back when the World Trade Centers in New York were buildings.
Yeah.
Like, just to do it, like, walked a tightrope, like a tight wire, from one of the World Trade Centers to the other. And, like, had to plan it all out because, obviously, he didn't get permission from anyone to do it.
Oh, well, that's crazy.
But he successfully did it, and they're, like, you know, 110 floors up. And
was he harnessed in?
No. Just a,
oh, that's so freaky. Because
there's nothing to harness you with. It was just a... And plus, up there that high, there's like a lot of high winds and stuff.
Ooh,
I think it was a French guy.
He wasn't authorized to be doing this?
No, he just did it.
That makes me super uncomfortable to think
And that was
about.
Part of the scariness of it was like figuring out how to do it without getting caught.
Yeah, how do you like string a tightrope between the World Trade Center?
I don't remember how he did it. I remember watching the show, but I don't remember how he did it. They had to like launch one end of it from one roof to the other end and then have someone on the other end like fasten it.
Oh, can you imagine like being in New York City and just looking up and seeing someone doing that?
And then holding like a, you know, like a balancing rod and right. walking across it.
I feel like so much could go wrong with everything about that.
Oh, but he successfully did it and did not die. But yeah, it would be
pretty long too.
I think he did get arrested because it was illegal, but he successfully did it.
That reminds me of the guy who like put a whole bunch of balloons, like secured himself to a chair and like floated with a whole bunch of balloons.
Oh yeah, that happens every once in a while. That's not a good idea.
Yeah,
they don't have a lot of control over it.
They like tried to figure out what to arrest him for. Like
to a lawn right. chair or something.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous because what happens is all the balloons pop at once and then you...
Oh yeah.
You can't really like in a regular hot air balloon, you can, with ballast and everything, you can control the height of it. With the lawn chair, it doesn't work so well.
I think that one person knew when to pop the balloons and how to control them and stuff.
So. He had a pellet gun and started shooting them when he went up too fast.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So you did zip lining, you did cliff climb, or what, rock climbing.
Like, yeah, we did like cliff jumping like into a river. We did that on the first day.
I saw a picture of that. It looked impressive.
Yeah, on the first day we had like just like 5 feet, maybe 8 feet cliffs. That wasn't that hard. On the second day, there were these, like, 20-feet cliffs.
I think that's the video I saw.
That one's the one where I, like, climbed up it, like, looked down, and I was like, nope. And I just climbed back down and went into the river, and then it was time to go.
What about you, Ben? Did you jump?
Yeah, so I found the highest point on that cliff, and I looked down for a little while, and then it's like, hey, Alex, you can go first. He didn't. So
so did the people that, like, run the camp, did they know that it was, like, a safe place to jump?
No.
No.
It was fun, though.
That's not the right answer.
Yeah, well, we checked the water. We were like, okay, it's slow here. You know, it's kind of, like, 10 feet deep-ish, maybe. So then we kind of jumped in. We didn't die, though, so that's a good
news.
Well,
yeah, okay. Obviously not.
The most legendary part of it.
I would have heard about it if you had.
That's true.
The most legendary part of it, I think, Ben, you already know what I'm talking about, is, like, so we went on the hike. There were, like, a whole bunch of, like, really good wild raspberries. They're actually surprisingly
wild
good.
Wild raspberries, yeah.
Yeah, and... So we went cliff jumping, and then, like, as soon as we did that, we were like, all right, let's go get... I'm going to call this person Will Byers, just because reasons they're about to be revealed. But,
do you know who Will Byers is?
No.
He's a kid that like, gets stuck in an alternate dimension in Stranger Things.
Oh. Yeah.
But,
oh, that guy.
He's
yeah,
the one who's
yeah,
lost
yeah, yeah,
in the first season of Stranger Things.
Okay, yeah.
So we
yeah.
were like, we thought that Will Byers was, like, still cliff jumping, but we realized that, like, none of us had him. And we thought that, like, he had just been driving the other cars of people, since we had to use multiple cars, right. Since there were, like, 50 of us. But turns out that he was left at camp the entire time for, like, 5 or 6 hours. And so we were stressing out about it, which soon turned into us just making jokes about it. And we, like, drive home,
Or what did the leaders say when the leaders realized they didn't have one of you?
I don't know. They were, like, stressed out, though.
Yeah.
So we dried back. Bet.
It was wild.
We dried back, and Will Byers just, like, jumped into the car when we found him, and he was, like, super chill. And one of them was like, wow, we thought you'd just be, like, pissed off at us. But he was like, oh, yeah, I was for, like, the first 3 hours, but then I was fine.
He said he kicked a chair and it felt good.
Yeah, he said he was, like, super mad. He said he was, like, having a meltdown for those 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then he, like, kicked a chair, and then he was fine. And then after that, like, all of us, including Will Byers, just started making jokes about it. So it was all good.
That would be stressful to be alone up in Arkansas.
For 5 hours?
5 or 6 hours, and you're not sure when people are going to come back.
Yeah, apparently, there's this one, like, about, like just a little walk away from our area, like our campsite, there's a pig that's in the shed. I think his name was, like, Muriel.
It was really, really...
So it was, like, a domestic pig. Someone owned the pig?
Big old pig, though.
I think its name was Muriel.
A pigsty? But it was like a wild boar or anything.
Yeah, it was this really, really fat pig that was, like... Probably it was, like, the size of a cow.
Yeah.
It was gigantic and could hardly even move that much. And apparently, while Will Byers was bored, he just, like, walked up there and just started looking at the pig.
Hanging out with the pig.
It's probably got to be like a record setting pig because I was like, I don't even know pigs could get this big. That was freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see the big pigs at the state fair, the big giant ones. Yeah.
Kind of makes me wonder why it was so fat.
Right.
Because I think there could be a kind of a dark answer to that.
Yeah, they have those. They have those feral pigs in Texas too. Like if you go out into the country where they have just wild hogs all over the place, those get to be really huge too.
Oh, I've never seen those. They're like three or four. I think. One guy said there were four dogs in total, but I only saw three. I would just walk around the campgrounds. When we went to go rock climbing, there was one dog that actually followed us all the way there.
Yeah.
Just because they're like super friendly.
The dogs just hang out with the campers.
So they're apparently goat dogs. Not sure what they do, but they're friendly. So, you know.
Yeah.
Is that like a sheep dog except for goats?
I guess. There are a whole bunch of goats there.
One of them's a guard dog and like can't be a pet, but all the other ones are super friendly.
Yeah.
They're like these pit bulls, so they're like super nice. We started, like, some person was, like, throwing rocks around, and we realized that the dogs could, like, catch the rocks with their mouth and then spit it out. So we kept on doing that.
Yeah, you'd think they like, pick it up like they're going to eat it and just chill out with it in their mouth and then randomly spit it out. They didn't even give it to you. They spit it out. And they keep doing it, so. Yeah.
At first, people were like, whoa, stop feeding them rocks. And then we realized, like, they never ate them.
I have a friend who, her dog kept eating rocks. And then she'd have to take it to the vet, and the vet would like have to do surgery to take the rocks out, and then the dog would keep eating rocks.
That's
some dogs
awful.
Will actually eat rocks, and it's not good for them because
like
they don't
birds.
Really digest them. They just sit in the dog's stomach and cause intestinal problems.
Didn't you have like a coworker or something that like their dog started eating the wall?
Wait, what?
I've heard of that before. I've seen it. I don't know. Like, they'll just like eat the plaster of the drywall, like not chew at it, and
it's
then
like
they get a
some,
hole
like,
and start to
deficiency in their diet or something.
I don't know. With people, they call
poisonous.
It pica.
Huh?
Like pica will cause people to eat like paper or plaster.
Is that like a disorder?
It might be something with dogs too, or either that is just like puppies in particular just really like to chew on stuff.
Yeah,
it's like a disorder that makes you just really want to eat the wall.
There is. There's a disorder called pica.
That's weird.
People who have pica will eat dirt or paper or like a lot of things that aren't really food.
I mean, it's kind of scary, but...
A little bit, yeah. Or like, you know, children who are malnourished will do stuff like that too, which is kind of sad, but anyway. So, did you guys get much sleep at camp?
Not...
You left super early in the morning, and I know some of the people left with you... Just stayed up that night. They didn't go to bed.
It's wild.
Not a good idea.
No, it was like we left at 3 and they were up all night until then.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a decent amount of sleep at camp, I think.
Yeah.
I had this like hammock I borrowed from one of my friends and it was like magical. I'd never slept in a hammock before and it was like a wonderful experience.
You slept in a hammock?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you sleep in a hammock? Well,
so I started to set up my tent, and then one of the adults came over. Like, I was, like, setting up completely on my own, and one of the adults came over and was like, hey, you might not want to set up your tent there because it's close to the fire. And at first, I was, like, completely devastated, but then one of my poles broke, so I couldn't use the tent. And I was
so
like, oh, boy.
You didn't end up using it anyway?
Yeah, so I just borrowed someone's cot.
Did you sleep, like, outside under the stars?
Yes, and the last time I did that at Sid Richardson when I was 12, I think that happened like right before
Scout Camp.
I think that happened like right before we started the podcast. Actually,
I think because I remember talking about it on the podcast. So
yeah,
it
like on the first episode,
one of the first episodes, anyway.
But, like, that time I just got completely eaten alive by bugs. So this time I actually made sure to, like, bug spray it and stuff.
Smart.
Yeah.
You don't want a mosquito to just feast on you all night long.
Yeah, I think there are a couple people doing that.
I know when Will got home, he was really stinky because he didn't shower the whole time. Did you take any showers?
I did, and it was, like, the sketchiest shower of all time.
You did or did not?
I did, and there were, like, 50 daddy long legs in there, and they were just watching me the whole time, and it scared me.
The daddy long legs aren't
there were so
hurt
many
you.
Insects at that camp.
Like I remember hearing, when I don't know if this is just one of those things that kids say or if it's actually true, but I remember hearing when I was a kid that daddy long legs are actually super venomous, but they don't really have the ability to like put their venom inside you.
See,
like I don't know if that's true. Or
I've
not.
Heard that too. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's accurate.
Or if it's just one of those things kids like to say.
I see like
a weird evolution thing.
I guess I see those like really deadly spiders and they actually freak me out less than the daddy long legs. It's just because their legs are so skinny. It freaks me out.
Yeah. There are a whole bunch of flies that are constantly swarming our food. Oh, there man. Are so many that like we put all our stuff in like a movie van truck at the end. And like the next day, like in the morning, we went up to go to a 4th of July breakfast like from the ward. And that movie and van truck was there so we could get all our stuff. And they, like, opened the van, and, like, 30 minutes later, there were still, like, all those flies in the van.
I don't like that. I don't like all those flies buzzing around.
Yeah.
Kind of grosses me out.
My dad found an ant from the campsite inside of a piece of paper in his bag.
And now it's here. It's probably so confused.
I guess so.
Yeah, the fly is, like, or the ant must be some sort of, like, spy or something.
Yeah. So, yesterday was the 4th of July. We had kind of a fun 4th of July because it was Elizabeth's birthday. So we had some people over, including Elizabeth and her friend and some of our cousins, my brother and his family. And we also went to see Spider-Man Far From Home. And I understand, Ben, you've seen it as well.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
So let's talk about that, but no spoilers because it just came out this week. Mm. So some people listening to this might not have seen the movie yet. So we can talk about the premise, but we can't talk about the twist, because there is a twist.
Okay, I might be able to work
it out. And I want to ruin it for anyone, because it's kind of a major twist.
Yeah, Spider-Man dies.
Yeah, Spider-Man dies, and everyone he loves dies. No, he already did that. He already died like a couple movies ago.
And Iron Man dies? Oh, wait.
Yeah. So the premise of the movie is that, you know, there's this man arrives from another dimension and says that there are elementals like fire, earth,
water.
Wind, and water
that
are like coming from his dimension to the earth and they have to be defeated. And Spider-Man kind of teams up with this guy who comes to be known as Mysterioso. And it takes place like Mysterio, sorry. And it takes place kind of a parallel to like this class trip that he's taking with his high school, class like in Europe. What'd you guys think?
It was really, really good.
Yeah, I was thinking there'd be too much like plot stuff that would have to go on from what I'd heard about it. I was like, there's no way they're gonna be able to make this work, but
yeah. Me too.
Worked really well actually. I thought and the thing I think I liked about it, which is what I liked about the first Spider-Man movie, what was the first one called? Homecoming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the Spider-Man movies so far have just been really fun.
Yeah.
Like not too dark, a little bit of darkness, but nothing like more just fun and like about him and his high school friends and like Spider-Man figuring out how to be a superhero, those type of things.
Yeah. I thought it would just be like a palate cleanser after Endgame, and it kind of was, but it was also actually like fairly dark too.
It had a lot of funny parts though.
Yeah.
The teacher's really funny.
Yeah.
I don't remember the teacher's name, so one of them's played by Martin Starr and one's played by J.B. Smoove.
Yeah.
And they were both really funny.
So when I saw Homecoming, I think I was just like in 7th or 8th grade, so I heard everyone saying that they like acted really realistically like teenagers, and I couldn't quite relate to that, but in Far From Home they acted like exactly like people from high school.
It was funny to see them interact. The whole thing was just like, they did a really good job with it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, hey, I know that kid, like, all the way through.
Right.
The one thing that I was really curious about, because, so, if you haven't seen Endgame by now, you really don't care. But, like, because of the Endgame, you know, the Infinity War Endgame, what they call in this movie, they call it the blip. Mm-hmm. So people were, like, gone for 3 years, and then they returned.
I think it was 5 years.
I was wondering, like, how that would work, because, like, all these other people he went to school with, some of them would be different ages. But conveniently, all the main characters, like, blipped, apparently, because they were all the same age still. Like, the four or five main characters. And then there was, like, one kid who was younger and now is their age.
Yeah, now he's super hot. Yeah. It's, like, the plot.
Who was, like, the rival for MJ.
Yeah.
And so there was that plot line.
They kind of make a joke of, like, the snap and everything.
Right.
Like, they just make it, like, a huge joke.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of nice.
Yeah, I like how they used, like, a school... What do you call it? The school newscast or the school broadcast?
Oh, yeah, the broadcast team.
To, like, kind of set up the movie and explain what happened.
And I love how they, like, carried that over from the last movie, because that's probably my favorite part, that and, like, the Captain America thing.
That was really funny, because it was very much like what an actual school broadcast looks like.
Yeah, that kind of stuff makes me wonder, like, how do they get high school right, like, this accurately?
Maybe they just hire high school students, like, hey...
Yeah, maybe the high school students are maybe a little better looking than most high school students, but other than that, they have the same sort of personalities, interactions.
Yeah, and they don't give like the MJ, who's kind of like the love interest in this one, they don't try to give her like a whole bunch of makeup or anything. Like, they just make her like look just like a normal high schooler.
Yeah, which is funny because Zendaya, the actress, is like a model in real life.
But yeah.
They kind of really dress her down, like make her real down to earth.
Yeah, like everyone actually looks like high schoolers, which is nice.
Yeah,
it's not like Amazing Spider-Man or like the Percy Jackson movie where they're all like 30-year-olds,
right?
Yeah.
I
think this might be my favorite Marvel movie with Happy.
Probably.
Like, it was his best movie so far.
Yeah, he was a complete jerk in Homecoming, but he was actually nice in this one.
He's pretty good in the Iron Man movies, but he's always like very much a minor character, and he was like more of a major character.
Yeah,
in this.
He's probably one of the most memorable characters from it, aside from like the main.
Yeah,
well, I mean, Mysterio was like,
yeah, and Jake Gyllenhaal who plays Mysterio, I thought did a really good job.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Holland is like always awesome as Spider-Man. I think so. Like, Homecoming had like really like realistic and like relatable villains and like very complex villains. This one has like really like kind of like crazy and like off the wall villains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it works really, really well.
Tom Holland's like pretty young, but I feel like he's going to get to the point where he's a little bit too old to play that character at some point.
Maybe. I think he's like 22 right now.
I guess that happens with all the actors that play Spider-Man. Happened with Tobey Maguire. And then it happened with who was the Incredible Spider-Man.
The Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah, that was...
I can't remember that actor's name. But it seems like that always happens. It's like they get a little bit too old to play the character because it's a teenage character.
Right. Shoot, what's that guy's name? I feel like...
I can see his face, but I can't think of his name.
Yeah, I can always remember his name. I don't know why I can't remember it now.
I will look it up.
He's British.
It's time for enlightenment.
Is he British? I thought he was American.
Yeah,
Tom Holland's British.
Okay, yeah,
I think he's also British. He does like a really bad New York accent in Amazing Spider-Man 2. Ah, shoot. That's like on the tip of my tongue.
Andrew Garfield,
yeah.
There we go.
I don't know. I couldn't remember that.
Yeah. I guess I've only seen movies where he plays an American, so I didn't realize he was British.
Yeah. Well, he was on Doctor Who in that one episode, but he was also playing an American.
Oh, really?
That's like the episode where everyone had terrible American accents, though.
Yeah, Doctor Who has that problem sometimes. A lot of British shows, when they try to do, like, Americans, they don't always get Americans, which I don't know why, but maybe because it's just easier to get. But they kind of talk like this, like an American.
Well, it always throws me off because, like, I'm so used to just hearing, like, in, I guess with air quotes, American accent. But it's like, you always think of, like, the British accent as being the weird ones. We're kind of the spinoff here.
Well, I'm sure when we try to do British accents, they're probably like, that sounds so
you're
wrong.
Yeah,
I mean, Everett Ross from Black Panther and Stephen Strange at first had really weird American accents, I think.
They got better slowly.
Yeah, but Tom Holland has, like, an amazing American accent.
It's really impressive. I would never have guessed.
Yeah. Him and Karen Gillan as Nebula have, like, really good American accents.
Karen Gillan has a good American accent. Benedict Cumberbatch still doesn't have a good American accent.
He's working on it. He's getting there. He's getting there.
It's getting better, but it's still not great.
I mean, he's a really, really cool character in Infinity War, though, so that's kind of forgivable.
Yeah, Doctor Strange is a good character, but you can tell, like, sometimes, especially
he's
when
struggling.
He has a whole bunch of dialogue at the same time.
Right.
But like, it starts to, toward the end, it starts
slipping.
Yeah. But anyways, something that Far From Home does really well is, like, I kind of thought that all the different countries that they visited would be, like, way too overwhelming and, like, overstuffed, but I think they do a really, really good job of, like, introducing each country and spending like just the right amount of time in that country.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting they actually filmed it in those countries too. I was trying the whole time I was watching, I was trying to figure out like how much of this is actually like in the location and how much is just a soundstage.
You look at it later on, like look at where they filmed it. It's actually like there for most
yeah.
of it.
Yeah. So a lot of it was filmed, like the Prague scenes were actually filmed in Czechoslovakia or Czech Republic, I guess is what it's called now. Czechoslovakia is what it was when I was your age.
Yeah.
In the Czech Republic. And like they filmed some in London and some in,
Where else did it take place? Like the Netherlands or Switzerland or something?
Yeah, Netherlands, I think.
What's the first country that
was Venice. Oh, Venice.
Venice, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was actually filmed in Venice, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I think they're like about to go to France.
And I noticed, because we're sitting there through the credits, because now you have to watch all the post-credit scenes.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the special effects were actually done in Australia.
Yeah, I had like...
That was weird.
Had credits for like every single country that they went to.
It was like that was a multinational project, that movie.
I think they even like at least drove through Austria too.
Yeah.
Like it must have been like a hassle to film.
I think I was especially sensitive to that because when Ben, when we went on vacation, we stopped in Los Angeles on our way to Japan, and we went to the Warner Brothers Studios and did a studio tour, and they have what they call the backlot, and it's like all of these like places they use for like locations. So there's like a city street that looks like New York, and it's where in the original Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire, he has like the scene where he hangs upside down and kisses MJ.
Uh-huh.
But it's like this New York street with like these fire escapes, but it's in the middle of Los Angeles.
Yeah. I remember when we went from California to Japan.
So it was really interesting that way.
When we went from California to Japan, Phoebe watched La La Land with me and I was like, oh, hey, that's Warner Bros. Studios.
Yeah. All the locations where they shot that.
Probably
yeah.
messes with you a bit just to like watch a movie and be like, wait.
Yeah. I also saw Split and then on the way back, Glass was really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, Far From Home is really, really good. I don't think it's one of my favorite MCU movies, but it's like, it's definitely better than Homecoming, I think.
I think I still liked Homecoming better.
It has a different feel.
It was really fun, and I thought the action sequences were way more complicated and interesting.
Yeah, they're way better.
But I think I liked the story better in Homecoming. I don't know.
Yeah, Homecoming is really good.
They're both really good.
I really like Homecoming, but this one... I think this one's definitely better. Like, the visuals and the action sequences are better, mainly.
You gotta stay for the mid-credit and post-credit scenes. They are, they are essential. So
they're
like,
pretty good, yeah.
They're crazy.
It's worth the investment of time.
That's when it gets, like, all twisty.
My one regret with Endgame is not knowing that there wasn't a post-credit scene and staying for the whole thing.
I know. Like, I sat there the entire time, like, wait.
Yeah,
wait.
When you watched it re-released in theaters, there were, like, three different things. And that was kind of, like...
A lot of people were complaining about that unmade scene, I guess.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I was kind of impatient with that, actually.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen it re-released. Is there like, I heard there's
going to be like added a couple content. Things.
Well, there's like a Stan Lee tribute, and then there's at the beginning, Anthony Russo was like, hey, stay for the end for a surprise. And you have to go through all of the credits instead of just mid-credits and post-credits. To watch like a Stanley tribute, then like an unfinished Professor Hulk deleted scene where he like saves people from a burning building, and then a little like small teaser.
Except it's like a pre-production version, so it doesn't have like all of the CGI and everything.
Yeah, it says like "Thank you, Stan. We love you, 3000." And then at the very end, there's a like Far From Home teaser.
Gotcha.
I'm still really mad that I made to sit through all of the credits for that, but
so
they're just trying to get that record. They're trying to beat Avatar.
Yeah. It definitely will. Like, definitely.
You think?
So, do you think it was worth it, just, like, waiting that whole time?
I don't know. I didn't watch it. William and Henry watch.
I mean, they're decent. The Professor Hulk deleted scene was a little dull, but, like, deleted scenes are never going to be that great because, like, they're deleted for a reason.
Right.
You guys kind of wanted to see it again anyway, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to rewatch it, mainly. The third act action sequence is, like, just as enjoyable the second time as the first time.
I can imagine.
I really... There were a couple things I noticed when I saw it re-released. First of all, they actually showed like the classic Ant-Man suit when they showed Hank Pym, which I like flipped out when I saw.
Yeah.
And also, Korg and Mick were in the final battle, and like Korg was actually shown in multiple
scenes.
There's
so much going on in that final battle that it's hard to catch it all.
Yeah,
yeah. We had heard about how Howard the Duck was in that one, and Henry saw it, but I never did.
Yeah. So the other thing that came out yesterday. Was Stranger Things 3. I don't want to spend too much time talking about it, because, Ben, I don't think you've seen any of Stranger Things.
No. Yeah. And we just saw the first couple episodes. So
we saw the first couple of episodes. I got to say, I'm really enjoying it so far.
Yeah, I've heard it gets really, really good after the first few episodes.
The thing that made me laugh more than anything, do you know what it was?
The the old lady with the thing.
No, the old lady was pretty good. But so the Stranger Things kids, the younger kids, there's like four main kids, right?
I think
four main boys, and then there's a couple of girls.
Yeah, they're like 15 now.
But Dustin comes back for the summer, and he claims that he has a girlfriend who lives in Utah, and she's a Mormon.
Yeah, and I was like, okay.
And he sets up like this big radio so he can radio her, and they're all like, yeah, sure. Sure, Dustin. And he never does reach her, but he does find like the secret Russian transmission, and that becomes a subplot.
Gotcha.
But Dustin's possibly imaginary Mormon girlfriend, I thought was really funny.
Yeah.
It made me laugh. And the funny thing is, so we're going to be talking about alternate reality a lot today on this podcast. And that's like a theme of like everything we watched. Like
yeah.
Stranger Things and...
And Far From Home.
Far yeah. From Home and...
And I have a news story about it.
Yep. So, speaking of the news, let's go ahead and do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
So, before you get to your story about...
Parallel universes.
I wanted to hurry and do a story about... Ben, have you heard about the Texas teen who licked Bluebell ice cream at Walmart?
No.
You haven't heard about this?
No.
This has been in the news a lot. So in Texas, there are a few things that are considered sacred. One is Whataburger, mm-hmm. but another one is Bluebell ice cream.
Yeah.
I would say Whataburger, Bluebell ice cream, and Dr. Pepper are like kind of equal status.
Maybe Buc-ee's.
maybe Buc-ee's. I mean, Dr. Pepper is sort of everywhere. We even found some in Japan, but it's still a Texas thing.
Yeah.
Bluebell ice cream is very much a Texas thing. It's from Brenham, Texas, and you can get it in Texas and some of the states around Texas, but it's like a big, like Texas people have a really strong feeling for Bluebell ice cream. Well, they tracked down a girl who posted on Twitter a picture of her licking some Bluebell ice cream and putting it back in the freezer.
Like the outside or like actually licking the inside of the ice cream?
Licking the ice cream.
Oh.
It
says, in a viral video, she is shown licking an open carton of Bluebell ice cream and putting it back in the freezer. And she is a teenage girl from San Antonio. The police in Lufkin, Texas announced. The 9-second clip posted Saturday on Twitter shows a suspect licking tin roof ice cream in a Walmart freezer aisle while someone calls her foul and tells her to put it back in the freezer. The suspect laughs and walks away as the door closes.
Wait, what flavor was it?
It was like, tin roof really sundae. Tin roof sundae ice cream.
Never had that one.
That is actually your mom's favorite ice cream flavor. Oh. Trivia.
So that's extra.
It's like fudge swirl with peanuts and chocolate.
If there's marshmallow in it, that might be worth it.
It's like a vanilla ice cream with a fudge swirl, peanuts, and usually chocolate-covered peanuts.
Okay, yeah, I think that's worth it.
Super sacred ice cream.
The Lufkin police spoke to the girl and her boyfriend, according to a statement posted on their Facebook page. They said that the case will be turned over to Texas Juvenile Justice Department and remains under investigation. She is going to be charged with something called... What's the name of the crime?
Sounds like vandalism.
Food tampering.
Food tampering.
Okay.
It's threatening to tamper a consumer product and affect its sale or cause fear is a third-degree felony in the state of Texas. You could get up to 20 years in jail.
Wow.
Why is that a felony?
Like, because it can cause health problems, like public health problems.
Yeah, like if you're drugging it or something. But
well, I think that's what the law was like made for is like... Because if you like contaminated the food supply and made a whole bunch of people sick.
See, if you're but contaminating like some like wheat thins or something, that'd be okay. But this is Bluebell we're talking about. This is like the real deal.
I think that should be a major misdemeanor.
Part of why people are really upset.
That should be like a really strong misdemeanor, I think.
Bluebell issued a statement. They say they're pretty sure they have the half gallon that was tainted. out of an abundance of caution, they removed all the tin roof half gallons from that location.
Oh, man.
The suspect is a juvenile, so they're not releasing her name. Bluebell said in a statement that it was thankful that its consumers had notified it about the video. The safety of our ice cream is our highest priority, and we will work hard to maintain the highest level of confidence in our customers. food tampering is not a joke, and we will not tolerate tampering with our products.
I mean, that's a pretty, like, kind of baseline, like, corporate response, but, like...
I saw another story. I don't have it with me, but a story about one... There was one Walmart in Texas that had actually, like, assigned one of its workers to, like, patrol the frozen food aisle with a squirt gun just to make sure no one opened up ice cream and licked it.
Isn't squirting people with squirt guns in a public place like kind of a whole other misdemeanor?
Assault.
I think it's he's going to make sure he only does it to people who are trying to lick the ice cream.
Gotcha.
Yeah, what if that becomes like a huge trend now?
Ice cream licking, that would be bad.
We can no longer trust Bluebo.
I think if you lick it, you got to buy it. It's yours now.
Yeah, but like, what if someone licked it and just put it back and just... What if they did like a lick and dash?
That's why we have the squirt guns. That's what this person
did. And then they were stupid enough to post it on Twitter.
Again, yeah. That's why we have the squirt guns.
They're like, hey, look, I just vandalized this Bluebell. And then it went viral.
Yeah. Not good. Not good. So, Will, do you want to tell us about alternate reality?
This one is pretty wacky.
This is a story about... Science!
It says, scientists attempting to open a portal to a parallel universe. It says, could 2019 be the year humans open the first portal to a shadowy dimension which mirrors our own world? Kind of sounds like Stranger Things.
Does sound like the Upside Down.
It says, scientists in Oak Ridge National Laboratory in eastern Tennessee hope so and have completed building equipment they are to test this summer, which may allow the first glimpse of a parallel universe which could be identical to, in many ways to our own, with mirror particles, mirror planets, and possibly even mirror life. The thing about this is, like, how do they know it's safe to step foot in there?
I always wonder this when they do these, like, super theoretical physics experiments. Like, how do they know it's not going to rip a hole through the fabric of space-time?
Yeah, right. Like, I'll get to this later, but there is stuff there that, like, can't happen in our own universe. Like, it says, Leah Roussard, I think? Who described the attempt to reveal a hidden shadow world as pretty wacky in an interview with NBC.
It's a scientific term.
Yeah, definitely. It's a like a quantum physicist that described it as pretty wacky. So, yeah, it says it's been repeatedly suggested by physicists as attempting means of explaining anonymous results. I don't really know what that means, but it says hard evidence that such a realm exists has refused to manifest itself. It says back in the 1990s, they were measuring the time it took neutron particles to break down into protons once they moved from atom's nucleus. And it says instead of decaying and becoming protons at exactly the same rate, they actually broke down at different rates. So, like, the free neutrons are captured by magnetic fields and put into a laboratory, and they detected the subsequent appearance of proton particles from a nuclear reactor stream. I have no idea what I'm saying. But it sounds cool.
Yeah, sounds very high IQ.
It sounds scientific.
Very high IQ. But it says, those particles fired out in the stream from the nuclear reactor lived on average for 14 minutes and 48 seconds, 9 seconds longer than those from the bottle traps. It says it might be a small difference, but it troubled scientists. It says that if there's a mirror world, then basically the explanation would be that there are two separate neutron lifetimes, and it could be around 1% of neutrons could be crossing the divide between our reality and the mirror world before crossing back and then emitting a detectable proton. It says the new experiment will fire a beam of neutrons at an impenetrable wall. On the other side of the wall, a neutron detector will be set up, which normally would be expected to detect nothing. So they'll, like, detect to see if any protons will go through when normally there shouldn't be any.
So basically they're trying to, like, see if there's dimensional travel that can occur with neutrons.
Yeah, it's weird stuff.
That's cool.
Like, people are starting to discover, like, really crazy stuff in the world of science.
Wouldn't that be really tough, though?
There's a movie called Primer, which was the super low-budget movie that was filmed here in Dallas, where it's a time travel movie, but it's very, very scientific, like, the way they explain this time travel. And part is, at the beginning, it sort of reminded me of you were talking about, like, at the beginning of it, this guy builds this contraption, and then he realizes that, like, something that he left in the contraption, like, aged much quicker than it should have for the amount of time it was in there. And then he discovers, like, the key to time travel. But that's what it reminds me of. It's, like, jumping between two different dimensions. Like, if I understood what you were saying, and I'm not sure that I did.
I will say,
but it sounds like what they're saying is like these particles are degrading at rates they can't explain. It's there's some anomalies in the degradation, and so what they're saying, what they believe is maybe it's blipping back and forth between two parallel universes.
Speaking of blipping,
crazy. Yeah,
I will say, like, compared to other stuff I've read about quantum physics, this is a bit easier to understand. Like, usually they'll just, like, start, like, going off on tangents where it's, like, I just can't even tell what they're saying anymore.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be really funny, though, if, like, they built all this equipment and, like, put all this money into the study, and it was literally just some, like, you know, error they had in their calculations or something?
Just some observational errors.
So it says...
Seems like a possibility.
So it says, I really need to, like, keep my eye out for news about this. But it says, despite the tidy theory, the team is playing down the chances of revealing reality's shadowy twin. Miss Broussard said, I fully expect to measure zero.
So she wouldn't be surprised if it comes back as no real discovery.
Mm. Yeah, it says, if you discover something new like that, this game totally changes. And says, the existence of a mirror world would also explain our universe's lack of the isotope lithium-7. Not really sure what that is, but maybe I can Google it.
Some kind of isotope, I suppose.
I don't know what isotopes are, though.
Isotopes are... I used to know this. You haven't learned this in science?
I think we might have.
Isn't an isotope like... It's like a molecule, or it's like an atom with an added something particle to it. Alexa, what's an isotope?
Isotopes are variants of a particular chemical element which differ in neutron number and consequently in nuclear number.
Yeah, so they have extra neutrons.
Which
yeah,
explains the neutron thing.
It's an...
Alexa Stover. Okay, blank.
Alexa, stop. So it's like a atom, but it's had an extra neutron added to it.
Yeah, so...
So like a lot of like the radioactive materials that they use to make like nuclear fission...
Yeah, so it says physicists...
they use isotopes for that.
It says physicists don't think that the Big Bang could have created that. And it also says that the detection of high-energy cosmic rays, which come from beyond a galaxy, could also be explained by the existence of the mirror world. Again, I really don't know what that means, but... It says, they are too powerful to have traveled only through the observed universe, but if they had oscillated into the mirror realm and then back out again, explain why this is the case.
What it sounds like to me, a non-scientist, is there's just all these things they don't have really good explanations for. So they're like, maybe the explanation is a parallel universe.
I wonder if it's even like, if there were to be a parallel universe, if it would even be morally right to like try to cross over into that. Obviously at this point we're only launching neutrons, but like, if there were to be one, would it be like okay to like cross over as a person and be like, hey guys?
Yeah, it's like, kinda like it's kinda like the question of like whether it's okay to like do human cloning.
Right.
And now you guys are like thinking like a sci-fi author.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a good question to ask in a sci-fi novel.
I think it's a pretty sketchy idea, because what if they end up like releasing a Demogorgon that kidnaps kids?
Exactly. Exactly.
Or a mind flayer that possesses kids.
Not to be like specific to anything at all or anything.
No.
I can't think of any other parallel dimension movies. I guess there's that made-for-TV Phineas and Ferb parallel dimension movie. It's actually amazing.
Well, Ben Legendary. Also has a story that has to do with... Science!
So, mine is about a guy who got... He's a Florida man, actually, so it just makes it better automatically. But basically, he was surfing one day in like 1994 at a college beach party. And got bit by something. He's like, this is whack, you know? And then it left a really deep cut.
It was a radioactive crocodile.
Probably. Did you guys see the trailer for that?
Yeah.
That looks so...
There was a super short trailer.
Yeah, it was like 2 seconds
long. It's
called
Crawl, I think.
Yeah, it was like 2 seconds long. It's like, crawl.
It's it's being attacked by alligators. I think it's like some place in the South, Florida maybe, where they're surviving a hurricane and then the... Alligators are on the hunt.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I saw like a split
It's like a shark movie with alligators.
Literally everybody started laughing in the entire theater afterwards because we were so confused.
I was just like, what the heck?
I know, we're like, what? Anyways.
You can't do that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, even, it just, yeah, everything about it just confused me. It was like 2 seconds long. Anyways, this guy gets bit by something, leaves a deep cut, and he's like, ah, it must be a shark. Anyways, in 2018, he noticed like a blister in his foot, and it turns, he tried to like, pick at it with some tweezers, and it turns out he pulled out like a fragment of a tooth. And he comes to find out that it was actually a shark. And it was a, I think it was like a black-tipped reef shark is what it said. Anyways.
So he got bit how long ago?
25 years ago.
25 years ago, and he still had the shark tooth in his foot.
Can you imagine? It might be happening now, I don't know, but can you imagine if this report came out during Shark Week?
Yeah.
Just a few weeks later, it seems like maybe?
It's about now, isn't it? Shark Week? I don't know.
Maybe.
Sometime in the summer.
Couple, I don't know. I feel like it's
usually in July, I think, or something.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometime over the summer. Anyway.
Yeah, this guy, like, decided he's going to put it in a pendant as a memory, so... Yeah.
Can you imagine if there are archaeologists that, like, discovered, like, these, like, old humans with shark teeth in their mouth or in their feet?
Yeah. Well, I think the cool thing about this is, like, not only did he have a shark tooth in his foot for 25 years, but there was still enough DNA in the shark tooth to actually do an identification.
It was, like, preserved, I guess, in his foot, which is kind of whack, but...
Yeah.
Means he was, like, part shark.
It's kind of scary.
25 years.
Could he feel that?
I don't know.
I think it was like having a sliver in your foot. Yeah. Like you sort of, you know, have you ever had like, I think I've had like where, I don't know, you have a sliver or something and then the skin just gets all tough around it.
Also, yeah, I have like a thing like that, like on my lip from a, tried to do a flip on trampoline.
Yeah, like a scar. It just kind of scars over.
I love the way it phrased it too. It says his right foot was chomped upon while he was surfing off the Florida coast.
Yep. He got chomped upon.
You gotta
keep
it professional.
I like this guy's attitude, too. Like, he's got a pretty chill attitude about it.
Right. Not cool.
Oh, I got chomped upon. That's nice. You know?
Yeah. I think he said, like he didn't... He went right back... He was a surfer, and he went right back to surfing after he got bit.
Yeah, he apparently got some joint damage, too, from it. But it says he stayed active for, like, 25 years.
Yeah.
And then he noticed, hey, look, there's a little blister, and... Apparently.
And he said it didn't make him like scared of sharks any more than like if a dog would have bit him, he wouldn't feel scared of dogs. It's just
weird. That would make you terrified.
Yeah, it would make me afraid. I don't think I'd go back in the ocean after that, but this guy's better than I am.
Thank you, Florida Man, for always giving us quality content to talk about on the podcast.
Thanks for being inspiring, Florida Man.
Yeah.
One last news story. I just want to really quickly note that Stranger Things 3 that we were talking about. One of the things that features, it takes place in the summer of 1985. So New Coke is like, I've noticed it like four different times.
I haven't.
And the Duffer Brothers like specifically said when we talked about doing a story set in 1985, New Coke had to be a part. Do you guys know about New Coke?
No.
I'm going to give you a little primer about New Coke. So New Coke, this happened when I was a kid, obviously, because I grew up at the exact same time as the kids in Stranger Things. Coca-Cola had been around forever. Like your grandmother used to drink Coca-Cola when she was a kid. It's, you know, big, long American institution. It's been around forever. I'm a big Coke drinker. I'm a big fan of Coke.
Oh,
in 1985, this is in one of Malcolm Gladwell's books. I think it's Blink. He kind of talks about the whole history of this. In 1985, or right before that, Pepsi was really making a lot of attacks on their market share, and it was making a lot of gains. Because they did this thing called the Pepsi Challenge. So they would go around the country and they would set up these little booths and they'd do these blind taste tests, or they claimed it was blind taste tests. And they'd say, all right, taste which of these colas do you like the best? And they claimed that, like, you know, 80% of the people, when they found out it was Pepsi, like, chose it before they knew it was Pepsi, and it turned out to be Pepsi. And Malcolm Gladwell talks about in his article about how there's a reason for that, because Pepsi has a much sweeter taste profile. It's like sweeter and flatter versus Coke, which is like more complex and spicier.
Yeah.
And when you do a blind taste test, just an initial taste test, that sweetness really appeals to you just initially. If you're just having a quick drink versus like a long drink of an entire cola.
I've always
most people
Pepsi.
Like that very sweet taste profile, you will think, you know, it'll appeal to you much quicker. So a lot of people were winning this Pepsi challenge. They were winning over market shares, and Coke kind of panicked over it. They were like, well, what do we do? They're stealing our market share. We can't just sit back and let them Pepsi win.
I kind of betrayed my family. I really like Pepsi.
Yeah, William too. Likes Pepsi too. But so Coke overreacted to the situation and they changed the formula of Coke.
Whoa.
They created a new Coke that was more similar to Pepsi in the taste profile. And immediately was a terrible disaster. Like, everyone hated it. And they were like, bring back the old Coke. So it only lasted like about 3 months.
Wow.
And they didn't call it New Coke. They called it Coke. But there was like a little, like a, on the edge of the can it said new, like a new and improved flavor it was supposed to be, but everyone hated it. And so it was like a marketing disaster. After like 3 months, they pulled it from the shelves, or they kept it around for a little while, but then they brought back something called Coca-Cola Classic, which was the old formula, and everyone went back to drinking that, and the new Coke didn't do very well, and eventually it just died. But in, so that was like a big cultural moment, and on Stranger Things 3, they feature it, like the Mike's mom is drinking it at the pool, and later you see it in the fridge.
I haven't noticed it yet.
I've noticed it, I guess, because I was sort of on the lookout for it, but they actually brought it back, like they brought back new Coke for, as a promotion.
Really?
You could only get it by ordering it from Coke's website, or they had like little special vending machines set up. Like there was one at the DFW airport, I guess, for a few days that was selling like, and it had the new upside down because it was like a tie-in to Stranger Things.
We got to try this at some point.
Yeah.
And that's going to taste terrible.
I guess you can't really buy it in the store. I did kind of want to try it because I don't know that I ever actually tried it when it was around. In 1985, because I didn't really drink Coke then, but it was hugely unpopular, and then they got rid of it. But now they're bringing it back just for this one promotion because of Stranger Things. The other thing that I thought was funny, one more alternate universe thing that I've done in the last few days. Mom and I went to saw the movie yesterday. Have you guys heard of the movie Yesterday?
Yeah.
So have you seen it?
No.
You've heard what you're saying.
So the premise to that movie is there's this guy, he's like, he's in Sussex, England. He's like this musician. He's trying to make it, but he's really struggling and he's just about to give up. And then he's riding his bike and he gets hit by a bus. And just as he gets hit by the bus, there's a big blackout that goes all over the world. And like all power stops. And after about like 7 seconds, all the power comes back on again. But he gets hit by a bus and goes unconscious. But then when he wakes up in the hospital, he is in a world where like no one else remembers the Beatles, like the Beatles never existed. And when he figures this out, like he starts playing Beatles songs and everyone's like, oh my gosh, you're such an amazing songwriter. That's like the premise for the movie. But one of the funny things is there are like random things that don't exist in this alternate world that he wakes up in. And one of the things is Coke. Coke doesn't exist. Only Pepsi exists. So whenever he talks about Coke, everyone thinks he's talking about cocaine because there's no Coke. And he's like, no. Pepsi's fine. And I just thought that was funny.
But yeah. When you said that you went to see the movie yesterday, I thought you were saying you went to go see a movie
yesterday. It was actually 2 days ago we went to see yesterday.
Yeah, that's confusing.
Yeah.
Okay, my question is, have you guys tried the Dark Berry Dr. Pepper?
No, I saw that in the store the other day. We're going to have to try that on Treat Yourself.
I have a bunch of friends that were like drinking. They're like, no, this stuff's good. I was like,
there is a Dark Berry Dr. Pepper now.
They gave me a sip on the way to High Adventure.
It's like in a purple bottle, right?
Yeah, it's like bluish purple, and it just seems wrong, but I don't know.
Maybe. It seems weird.
Like, I think it was like kind of lukewarm, but it tasted kind of good.
I've always thought the cherry Dr. Pepper, and I know people who really like it, cherry Dr. Pepper seems a little wrong to me because cherry is like one of the flavors, so you're just taking one of the flavors and you're like hyping it up.
Over-amplifying it, yeah.
I do think cherry Coke is way better.
But I haven't tried the dark, what is it called?
Dark Berry.
Berry Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Why don't they just make it like mixed berry or something? Like dark berry is not a thing.
It is really strange.
I just love Dr. Pepper in general.
Yeah.
All right.
That orange vanilla Dr. Pepper. Dad doesn't like it, but I really like it.
I haven't tried that yet.
Let's do a segment we haven't done in a little while. And then we'll do... Then we'll wrap this up because I think we've been going for a while. Let's do Would You Rather.
All right. Ooh, I like this one.
Let's do some Would You Rather. Some hypotheticals. It's a little bit like a hypothetical. It's a little bit like an either or. What I just said was only, either or. So, let me see if I can find one. That's good. I've got my app out. Here's an interesting one. I don't think we've done this one before. Would you rather never be able to touch anyone again or never be able to talk to anyone again?
I think touch people.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
It's easy. I think it's easier for you than it is for me.
Well,
I don't know.
If you're like married, then that's a bit different. But
I'm going to say never be able to talk to anyone again because here's my argument.
ASL?
You can still communicate. You can write something down. You can do sign language.
Yeah, you can just do like American Sign Language.
That's true.
And you can still hear. It's just like a person from the others.
But Do you know what, if you had to guess what most people said, what do you think they said?
I'm changing my answer. I think talk. I'm guessing touch. I guess that's what people said.
64% said never be able to touch anyone again. That's a little bit sad.
Okay. I mean, it's not like the best.
You can never get a hug. You can never get a nice hug or a comfort. No one could.
Maybe they could write it down.
Pat you on the shoulder and say, it's okay.
You can just like write down hug.
Consider yourself hugged.
Just put hug on a big poster and go, here you go.
What about like when they get married? Is there just like an awkward silence?
What it can't, say? And the other question I would have, it doesn't really go into this, but does that count pets? Does that mean you can't touch your pets ever again?
Well, it's like, do you have gloves? If you have gloves on, can you still touch someone through the gloves? Or is it just like physical like contact?
It's like the TV show Pushing Daisies. You haven't seen Pushing Daisies, have you?
I've heard about that.
Like, it's pretty good TV.
There's like bring people to
Pushing Daisies is the premise to that show is there's this guy, the pie maker, is this guy who makes pies. But he has this ability where if he touches a dead person, they come back to life. But if he touches them again, then they're dead forever. So, of course, he uses his power to solve crimes. Like, find out, like, why people, like, who killed people. Goes around helping people solve crimes. But because, like, his girlfriend in the show, he brought back from the dead. But then he can never touch her. So, has to, like, if he wants to hug her, he has to wear, like, gloves that go all the way up to his shoulders. And
that's crazy.
Yeah. Because he knows if he ever touches her again, she'll be dead forever.
Yeah, wow. I think learning sign language is definitely superior to not being able to touch people or anything.
All right, let's try another one.
Living things, I guess. Can you, like, eat vegetables? Can you just, like, not bite into apples anymore? Do you have to, like, go bobbing for apples?
I guess. I don't know.
Well, those are, like, dead, and they're, like, a part of something, so...
Wait, but...
I don't know.
They said don't touch people, so it's, like, if someone is dead, could you... I don't know. I think we're overthinking this.
Yeah. I'm
trying to find another good one. Would you rather be in a famous music band or be in a famous movie?
Music band.
I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about Vampire Weekend, because I'm basically a Vampire Weekend fanboy now. And I was thinking about how, like, people in that band, like, got it really easy because, like, people recognize them, but it's not like the paparazzi is following them around or anything. And so I was thinking, like, being famous...
I think it's probably the only... What's the main guy's name?
Ezra Koenig.
Only Ezra, who's probably has paparazzi follower. I don't think anyone else in the band would ever even be recognized.
Yeah, I was thinking about how, like, being, like, the lead singer of a indie band is, like, the best way to be famous because, like... People recognize you, but it's not like you could, like, have no privacy.
Yeah, you're, like, famous, but you're not so famous that, like...
That, like, you have to, like, wear disguises.
You have to, like, dodge,
right?
TMZ or something.
So, being in a... Maybe if you're in, like, one movie, like, you're the kid from Iron Man 3 or whatever. I'm just reading about...
the one that no one recognized at the funeral.
Yeah.
Like, who's that kid again?
Oh.
And apparently he, like, got interviewed.
Right?
I was, like... I know I saw a random guy there. I was
Everyone
like,
who watched that movie was, like... What's with the kid who's just standing there?
Right, I was like seeing Rand, I was seeing people. And then later you read,
oh, it's
a
kid from Iron Man 3. Oh, okay.
He talked about it in an interview how like he didn't tell anyone at school they'd be in it, and then everyone was like, "Hey, what the heck, dude?"
That's pretty funny.
Yeah,
or like the two kids who come in and say hi to Hulk.
Yeah,
like they're just randomly in. Yeah. Anyway,
like, hey, I was in Endgame.
So, would you rather be in a famous movie or be in a famous music band?
Well, not you say
famous music band, I think.
I want to see famous music band. Like, that was like my gut impulse, but like,
be a lot more fun too.
That's true. I'd probably go with that. Yeah,
I think I'd go with that too because that's much more specific. Like, you can be in a famous movie without. I mean, maybe you're just an extra. Or maybe you have like one line.
And you can kind of stay true to yourself.
Doesn't say you're being like, starring in a famous movie.
Well, yeah, and usually in a movie you like aren't being you, but in a band you can kind of express yourself. You know,
what kind of band are you?
I think it would be cool to just be perform in front of. People like you're doing it live too, like you're being part of that experience versus you're just filming a movie.
Okay, the question is, what kind of band would you be in and what would you play? I would probably just like, I guess it's probably pretty expected for me, but I'd probably just sing in like a indie alternative band.
I think being like a guitarist or a bass player,
Scottish rock playing the electric bagpipes.
I wouldn't want to be the drummer because the drummer works really hard and they're way in the back and no one can see
you
anyway.
And no one knows who they are, you know, unless they're the Beatles. Everyone knows the Beatles.
If you're the lead singer, you're not only like the face of that band, but you're also like, I don't know, you can really express yourself.
Yeah. I don't feel like I have a good enough voice to pull it off though.
Yeah.
Again, electric bagpipes.
So we all said being a famous music band. What do you think most people said. Do you think they said being a famous movie or famous
Probably movie? Famous movie.
Probably famous movie.
64% said being a famous movie.
Yeah. I mean, that's close-ish, but just people are basic.
Here's a good this will be our last one. Here's a good question. Would you rather live around a noisy neighbor or live around a nosy neighbor?
Noisy neighbor, hands down.
Nosy neighbor, hands down.
Really?
Well, because like...
Noisy or nosy?
Well, noisy would be like really, really irritating.
Nosy? I would do noisy because I don't want people like looking at my yard and stuff and be like, oh, you didn't mow it.
If they're nosy, I could just like get a restraining order on them or something. And also, I just feel like they wouldn't be quite as annoying. I don't know.
I would just wear earplugs. I could live with it.
It sort of depends on your circumstances. Like if you're living in an apartment, a noisy neighbor is a real problem. If you're living in a house, it's less of a problem. You can just close your doors. But if they're like above you or below you in an apartment building or next to you in an apartment building, it's way a bigger deal.
Yeah.
No, nosy neighbors are really annoying though. I don't want people like snooping around me or like getting in my business.
Knocking on your door and just walking inside.
So I'm going to also say noisy neighbor.
Well, the problem is you can only...
Wait, I would rather live around a noisy neighbor. That's right.
The problem is you can only assassinate the nosy neighbor because the noisy neighbor would make a lot of noise if you tried to assassinate him.
Interesting thoughts, Will.
And then neither one's going to make any noise after you assassinate them, but don't kill anyone.
All right.
We don't believe in murdering on this podcast.
I guess we're not factoring that into the equation.
So what do you say, William? You say nosy neighbor?
Yeah, definitely.
And Ben and I say noisy neighbor.
Yeah.
61% said noisy neighbor. They would rather be around a noisy neighbor than a nosy neighbor. Hmm. I think part of it, too, is noises don't bother me that much. Like in my office, my office is close to a door, and a lot of my coworkers always complain that people come in and out of that door and they let the door slam. But it really doesn't bother me that much. Like, background noise doesn't bother me that much. I don't know why. It never really has.
I think the main thing would be trying to sleep.
But some people, it bothers a lot. Like, some people can't stand having noisiness around them.
Yeah, I think sleeping would be the worst part.
I think I grew up in a noisy family, and I was a middle child, so I'm just used to it.
Me too.
Yeah. So, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
I have the last of our treats from Japan. Got a variety of stuff here. I don't know if I'm going to do it all. Miraculously, Henry just showed up.
Just a side note, about a month or two ago, me and Henry actually saw the Treat Yourself episode of Parks and Rec. It did not disappoint.
I've got a whole bunch of stuff here. I don't know if we're going to do all of it. This one I definitely want to do. Henry and I visited this place called the Calbee Store in a part of Tokyo called Harajuku, which is a super crazy, crowded, bizarre part of Tokyo.
Oh, I love that place.
Calbee makes like treats. They make like a lot of potato treats that kind of look like potato fries. But the cool thing about visiting the Calbee store is they like fry them right there. So like fresh made fries, potato fry things. This one's really bizarre. They gave it to us as a sample, like it's for free. We didn't buy it. It is a shrimp treat. It's made of shrimp. What? But it is also chocolate flavor.
Whoa.
Chocolate and shrimp. Two great tastes that taste great together, I bet. That's gotta wild. Try that. That's just weird. I have no idea if that's gonna be good or not.
I don't know. I've had some like...
I'm actually excited for that.
I've had some really like inventive, but in a really bad way, Japanese candy before, so I'm really nervous.
Another one I'd like to try. These are called... This is called some kind of creamy cheese candy. A cheese cream candy. It is by Bake. So we went to this place called the Bake Store where they make these cheese tarts that are really, really yummy. Super yummy. Yeah. This is a candy, I think, that's based on that. So it's like a cheesecake candy.
That could be good.
That looks pretty good.
I mean, it could be pretty bad, too.
But... And maybe we'll just do three things, and we'll save some of this, the rest of it for later. There is... The last thing we'll do is... It's a snow cone-flavored candy.
Huh.
It is three flavors of snow cone candy, or like shaved ice candy, Japanese shaved ice, called kakikori. They're gummy candy, but they're supposed to be the flavor of shaved ice.
I think that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So maybe we'll try that one first, because frankly, well, I don't know. This one looks the least risky to me.
Yeah.
It's just gummy candy.
The one, I only had shaved ice once in Japan, but... I mean, it's all right. It's not like the best shaved ice I've ever had.
But it's pretty good.
It smells pretty good. All right. I'm going to pass this around. Take a couple different flavors. You don't have to get every single flavor. Looks like it comes in three flavors. Lemon, soda, and strawberry flavor.
I guess it would be like Kalpa soda.
So the yellow is lemon.
It would probably be like Calpico soda,
the
right?
The bluish one is like... No, I think it's more like ramen.
Oh, yeah.
Like that kind of soda.
It's like bubblegum flavored.
Yeah, kind of bubblegummy flavor. And then strawberry. The pink ones are strawberry.
All right,
they kind of look like gumdrops.
I'm really excited for this, actually.
It's really good.
They actually kind of look like shaved ice, which is...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kind of do.
Fun.
Like gumdrops in the shape of shaved ice. They do, because they've got like... They're like, I don't know, the shape of little hills with the top of it colored and the bottom white. So it's like a little tiny shaved ice covered with sugar.
All right.
Once you pass them around, we're going to mute the mics so we don't chew into the mics. Then we're going to come back and tell you what we think. All right, Ben, I don't know if you remember how this works, but we rate everything on a scale of gross, meh, okay, or delicious. So what'd you guys think? To me, it tastes just like gumdrop.
It has kind of like a candy cola flavor to it. Like all three flavors do.
Yeah, I can see that. A little bit like a soda flavor.
I think that's like a light okay to me. Like not a strong okay. I actually misspoke. That's like a light delicious to me.
Okay, I think it's delicious also. It just tastes like candy.
Yeah, not like a strong delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Yeah, I mean, what I appreciate about it is like it had this like sugary outside, so you bit into it kind of felt like ice. It wasn't like cold, but it almost felt like you're biting into a snow cone. So I'd probably also put it at a delicious, because I was just like, it just felt like an actual snow cone at first. I was like, they did it, you know. It's been done.
Yeah, I liked the thought that was put into like what it looked like and the texture and stuff. Yeah.
I think it's like a low cool. Delicious. It's really good.
I think we bought that at Daiso in Harajuku. Have you ever been to the store Daiso, Ben? It's like a Japanese dollar store.
Yeah, I told you.
Except the one in Japan,
this one
we went to was like four stories tall. It was huge. It was gigantic. Wow.
It was like a Japanese Bucky's. There's a whole bunch of people there.
Japanese Bucky's.
And everything in the store was like a dollar.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Probably better than Bucky's, actually.
All right. This one is kind of crazy because this is... This one I think we bought at another crazy store called Don Quixote. In Tokyo.
You got to talk into the mic.
This one is supposed to be like little cheesecakes, and they look like little baked cheesecakes. It's kind of weird because it's candy, but it looks like little baked goods.
This one I'm kind of nervous about. I feel like it could be really good, or they could be like...
It's going to be really good.
And it looks good, actually.
I haven't seen them yet, so we'll see.
I feel like I could
they
totally
smell like
get it
cheesecake.
Wrong.
They literally look like actual, like...
Yeah, like little baked cheesecakes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That tastes exactly like the like creamy filling in like Japanese cheese tarts.
Yeah,
just like kind of like a breadcrumb layer around it.
That threw me off. Like not in a bad way, but I bit into it. I was like, whoa, one sec.
It is a little different, but I thought it was delicious.
That is really
yum,
delicious.
Yum 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 yum, delicioso.
I agree. It tastes exactly like cheesecake.
The texture is unexpected.
Yeah, I put it at a high end. Okay. Just because it threw me off so much. Like, not bad at all. I was just like, whoa, one sec. Like, whoa.
It's creamy on the inside. It's a little bit crispy on the outside as if it's been baked.
And it did definitely taste like cheesecake. So
it's like really a roasted marshmallow, the texture of.
It tastes exactly like
a
cream.
It reminds me of something, and I can't think of what it reminds me of.
Like cannoli, maybe?
Or, I don't know, like some other kind of candy, like a creamy candy or a, yeah. I don't know what. Something.
Yeah.
Can't really tell.
That's really good, though.
But I liked it. All right, here is the most controversial one.
Ooh.
Chocolate-flavored shrimp chips.
It's going to be great.
Oh, boy.
I'm getting, like, more and more nervous about
this. This is... Honestly, like, have you ever thought of shrimp and chocolate together?
I would never thought of shrimp and candy to begin with, but chocolate is just,
ever.
Like...
Well, there are those
it's
chocolate...
It's going to be great.
We had those
maybe, like, cherry shrimp.
We had those chocolate sardines. They're pretty good from Portugal.
I just smell chocolate.
In them.
I'm getting more and more nervous about these as we
all
go
right,
along.
Passing it around.
We had such a strong start.
They do smell good.
They remind me of like those chocolate Crave cereal.
What if the gross stuff is on the inside though?
Yeah, it probably is.
They feel like I can feel ridges in there, so we'll see.
Yeah. That is unexpected.
I will say that the two flavors flavors, you can't really taste them at the same time. They're like very separated, but they're really
taste
good.
Them, but you can taste like, both flavors.
It's kind of like when you have those like spicy chocolate bars on the podcast. Sometimes like companies will do that, where like it's two different flavors that are like completely separate from each other. It's like a chocolatey like Cheeto puff, but it also has like a fishy tang to it. They're completely separate.
The chocolate is good chocolate.
Yeah.
The
shrimp is good shrimp. You just have to sort of reconcile.
I bit into it, and I was like, this intrigues me. But then like I ate the first one, then I got a second one, I bit it in half, and I looked inside, and I saw like this crispy wafery stuff, but I was like, oh, that's wild. You know, and then I started tasting like the fish flavor. I was like, what the? So like not bad, but like so like Yeah, exactly.
It's a little hard to wrap your mind around.
And yeah. That's weird. Yeah. That's like not quite an okay. I think that's like a high meh.
Meh. M-E-H. Meh.
With the delicious.
The first time I had it, it was like a gross, but...
Henry, I agree with you. I think it's...
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I think you have no soul.
Ben?
I have no idea. So, okay, at first I was like, this is good. Like, this is like chocolate, like wonderfulness. So,
Ben, do you think it's...
Like, anyone can even know that.
Yeah, we have a drop for that. You've used it a few times for cheat yourself.
I think I may have to go with that, because I'm so... Like, I don't know whether it's, like...
It's confusing.
Yeah, it's like, I loved it, and I fear it at the same time.
I don't think I've ever had a snack that quite so much causes cognitive dissonance.
Right.
I remember this one time.
The snack right here, but I like it. It's good.
Like, I probably would eat it again if given the chance, but I wouldn't be like... Bro, you should try like the shrimp chocolate. That is the stuff.
I think one of the couple other times that we used that drop was when we had those wasabi flavored Kit Kats from Japan.
Oh yeah,
like a whole bunch of different flavors, and one of them was a weird wasabi flavor.
You know, I think I'm gonna go with an okay, almost a delicious.
I don't know. That's weird.
It's very strange.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Because it is a shrimp fry.
Okay,
that's dipped in chocolate.
I would never buy that, but like, I'm still glad I had it because like, I feel like that was an experience.
Your life's been enriched by the experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like watching some of those like 80s movies. You're like, Never Ending Story. It's like you watch it and you're like, why did I watch that? But hey, I just saw it. I wouldn't take it back. I can say I've seen it now. You know.
You can now say you've seen it. You can say you've had the taste of shrimp and chocolate in one bite. So that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks, Will and Ben. And even Henry for being here with us on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find us at talktodadpodcast.com, where you can stream and download all of our episodes. If you like the podcast, a couple of things you can do to help us out. One, you can tell a friend. As I've said in the last few podcasts, ours is a good one to download for car trips because it is a family-friendly podcast. And the other thing you can do is if you leave us a 5-star review wherever you found the podcast, that helps us get the word out so that other people can learn about the podcast. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.